Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
This campus is on fire. Man, oh man. Like just what you've done already is just inspiring. And tonight, God is going to do something extraordinary. Tonight, can you do this for me? Can you make normal your enemy? Make normal your enemy tonight. We serve an extraordinary God. He's going to do an extraordinary thing. Normal's your enemy. It's his enemy. He doesn't do normal. You're not normal. You're extraordinary. You're one of a kind, made by God, formed by him, set apart to do his will. God, we thank you for this night. We thank you that you're here, that lives will be forever changed. In Jesus' name. Just while you're still standing and the band's up here, Chris, if you could hang out, you guys can hang out too just for 2 minutes and then go away. Or you can go away right now, whatever you want. But Chris is going to stay. He's the man, by the way, Chris. Two keyboards and a laptop. I can't even type. And he can do all three. But I want to first and foremost honor our senior pastors, Pastor Juergen and Pastor Leanne, who without them, none of us would be here. I wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. And they're the world's greatest. And they're not here, but just because someone's not here doesn't mean you don't honor them. In fact, usually honor is what happens when they're not around. And so they're my heroes, our heroes. Secondly, I want to honor your campus pastors who are of our team, they are the hardest working individuals and love people more than anybody. And in Ezekiel, it says, Ezekiel chapter 22, thank you for staying standing. You're going to sit for like 30 minutes in a minute, so just bear with me. But in Ezekiel 22, and this is what I felt like God wanted to say. God says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap. Who would make a wall and stand in the gap. And what I really heard God say for this county in South Bay is that God said that same cry, God prays for every city. I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a person. I'm looking who will make a wall and stand in the gap. And when God said that about South Bay, he thought of Drew and Emma. They answered the call. When he said, I sought for somebody, his prayer was, and I found a couple. A couple who he had to pick from the other side of the world and place here. So you have to understand that you are not standing in ordinary. You are not standing in normal. You're not a part of just something. You're a part of history. You guys are writing history. You're not going to look back and be reading it. You're going to be writing it. That's what you're doing at this campus. And then third of all, I want to honor the team that is here. The team that is here and that has been here for the last couple years. King David had a cave. He kind of dwelt in a cave because he was running for his life for a little while from King Saul. And in that time, a bunch of people came to him in this cave. And out of those people who came to him in the cave, that is what turned into David's mighty men. The ones that could throw a spear with the left hand and the right hand. The mighty men came to David when he was in a cave. And I want to honor the team, the every volunteer and leader who has been here from day one. Reason being is because this campus is only 3 weeks old here, this building. And it's something special when you can be in a place before there is a building. when you have to set up and when you have to tear down. I'm not saying this campus was a cave, but I am saying there are cave happenings. There's cave things that can happen in any location in campus. But just like what happened with David's Mighty Men is what happened with the team here. You guys came in a maybe inconvenient time, but you're coming out as a mighty man. You're coming out being able to throw with your left hand and your right. There are things that are developed in those seasons that you can't develop in other seasons. So can we put our hands together and thank your campus pastors and the team, these guys changing the game. You're changing the game. That's a sports terminology that I keep hearing all the time, and that's what you're doing in the church life. You're changing the game. So why don't you give somebody a high five? You can take your seat. We're going to get this party started tonight. If you don't know me, my name is David Chittick. Chittick is my last name. You'll hear me referred to as Chittick a lot. The reason being, I actually am not sure. I've never introduced myself as Chittick, not once in my life. But my entire life, they just have called me that. And so that's usually what you'll hear me called as. But I'm the youth pastor here at C3 San Diego at all of our campuses, and have an extraordinary team. Have an extraordinary team. My beautiful wife is right here on the front row. Can you stand up? Just say hi. That's my wife. Because I know some of you would have questioned it afterwards. She's your, yes, I know. I have a good personality. So, I'm just kidding. She's amazing. But we've been here since January 2006 at C3 San Diego. So we've been here from the very beginning and love this place. This is where we'll die, C3 San Diego. And so I'm so honored to be here. These are kind of the hot Sunday nights, not temperature-wise, even though it is hot. But you've had Pastor Benny Perez and Jeremy Johnson, and I'm just incredibly honored to be able to preach. And the 5 p.m. service is my favorite service because you guys are fired up. Like, I barely got to work, and you guys are ready for it. Like, if I was to do an altar call right now, I wouldn't have to work, and you guys would just run forward because you're hungry. You're hungry. You're saying, God, I need something. The 5 p.m. crew are the ones that say, God, I need something. God, I need it. I need the breakthrough. I need the miracle. I need the restoration. I need something. That is the best way to come into church. That's why sometimes you just got to sit on the edge of your seat and say, okay, God, I'm ready. As soon as they give it, I'm running. As soon as they tell me to lift my hands, I'm lifting. In fact, I'm not even waiting for them to tell me to jump up and down. I'm just going to jump up and down. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm not going to wait for the buckets to be passed. I'm just going to give on the app. I'm just going to do things that nobody's doing because I am ready. I'm expected. I'm excited. I'm pumped up. So you're going to see the way I preach, I'm a little bit passionate. I'm going to yell a lot. You say, well, why does he yell so much? I'm passionate, and I really want you to get what I'm saying. I really want you to get what I'm saying. And so tonight I'm going to preach this message. We had our high school summer camp a few weeks ago and in Lake Mead. And we had our summer camp, and when we were preparing for the camp, God really spoke to us. And that we would not be the generation that is just known for filling stadiums, even though we will. We will not just be known as a generation that changes laws in our country, but we will. We will not just be known as a generation that brought God back into schools. We will be known for that, but not just that. That more than all of those things, our prayer at our summer camp was that we would be known as the generation that found God. That we would be known as a generation that found God. And in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12, this is what it says. It says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will bring you back from your captivity. And so my prayer tonight is this. I preached 3 different messages at summer camp, and I've intertwined all of those messages tonight. And so I'm going to preach all the messages I preached at summer camp into one message. So I hope you're good for about 2.5 hours, because that's how long we're going to be here. I'm going to preach all those messages because my prayer is that our teenagers, it won't be the only generation that's known as a generation that found God. but that all of us in this room would be known as the people, as a church, who found God, who found real God. Not the lowercase God, not the other thing, but the real thing. That we would be known as those people who sought after God and who found Him. So the title of this message tonight is Heart Abandoned. Heart Abandoned. And I want to break down what the scripture says, and I want to practically preach it to you. And at the end, we're going to open up this altar. And for those of you who want to get your life right with God, we're going to do that. And for those of you who want to be that person that says, God, I want to find you. I want to be the one that finds you. I want to be the one that enters in. I want to be the one that seeks after you and finds you. I want to be the one that has a heart that is abandoned to you. We're going to open up the altar, and you're going to encounter God like you never encountered Him before. You might have had normal experiences with God. You might have had normal church experiences where you hear the Word of God and then you walk out the same way that you walked in. But at C3 San Diego, we don't do that. We don't play that game. When you walk in, you walk out differently. You walk out changed. You walk out restored. You walk out redeemed. And so tonight, that's what this is about. It's about us walking out of here saying, God, my heart's abandoned to you. Everything for you and only you. So the scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 12, it says this, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. It doesn't say I will hear you. He says I will listen to you. There's a difference between hearing and listening. The reason I know that is because I'm a guy. I'm a dude. We are really, really good at hearing, really bad at listening. All the women said amen. We are really good at hearing, really bad at listening. Because listening is with my ears, or hearing is with my ears, but listening is with my heart. Hearing is just what I do, but listening motivates me and causes me to have an action from it. So what we hear, what we read here is God says, you will call upon me and I won't hear you, I will listen to you. So I told this to our teenagers because every day we encourage them to wake up while the sun was rising at about 5 a.m. and to get up with their Bible. And as we would step out of the house, we would look at the mountainside, and they would be on top of the mountainside at 5 a.m. Teenagers, people, this is a miracle. Would be up on the mountain with their Bibles open up, seeking God. And I told them this, when you get up in the morning, get up there not with the expectation that God is going to hear you, but with the expectation that God is going to listen to you. With the expectation that God is going to show up next to you. Not because He doesn't care, but to show up to listen to whatever you have to say. A lot of us think that we can only go to God when we have good things to say. That we can never go to God if everything is bad. We can never go to God and complain. We can never go to God and ask why. Why, God? Why is this happening with my family? Why is this happening with my job? Why is this happening with my kids? Why? Why can I not get breakthrough? Why is that? We don't think we can ask God those questions. But one thing I've understood about God is He's very secure in who He is. It doesn't matter if you come to Him and ask why. He doesn't care because He knows when you get to Him, when you ask why, you're close. And anytime you can be close to Him, He can get something to you. So tonight, to have a heart abandoned, we have to be people to understand that God doesn't hear you, He listens. Tonight, if you could say anything to God, what would it be? If you could go up on a mountaintop, if you could run to this altar at the end of the service, if you could run down here with nobody else around you and lift your hands up and say, God, why me? Why do I have this sickness? Why do I have this problem? I don't understand it. We think that we can only go to God if we have good things to say, but God is secure enough for you to come to Him and complain if you have to sometimes, because He's not hearing you, He's listening to you. He comes and He sits down next to you. This is what I was telling the teenagers, because 90% of them, if not more, come from unchurched homes, whose parents are divorced, who don't know God. And I said, you have to get up on that mountaintop and go to God and say, God, why? If you could tell Him anything, what would it be? So many of us are holding something inside because we're afraid that God will push us away if we tell Him. Nothing inside of Him pushes people away. Every fiber of His being is about bringing people to Him. He wants to listen to you. And when He listens, it requires an action. Every time He listens to your heart, it requires an action. Let me explain what I'm talking about. In the Bible, there's a man named Blind Bartimaeus. We know him by his weakness. We know him by his insecurity. We know him by why he's lacking. And he's sitting And the Bible says that Jesus enters Jerusalem and then Jesus leaves Jerusalem. And on the way out of Jerusalem, blind Bartimaeus is sitting outside. He has his beggar's cloak on him. He has this on him. And as he's leaving Jerusalem, Jesus is walking out. They tell him that Jesus is here. And when he hears it, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." As he does that, everybody around him says, "Shut up. Quiet. Stop yelling for Jesus." The Bible says at that moment, blind Bartimaeus, Bible says, cries out even more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." As Jesus is walking and he cries out, he's on a mission to go someplace. And at that moment, Jesus stops. He stops because he hears not a call, but a cry. He hears a cry of a man who has nothing to offer him. And he stops and he turns and he walks towards this man who's crying out to him. Because a call is from a place of entitlement, but a cry is from a place of desperation. When we get into a place with God, can we not have a call, but can we have a cry? "Jesus, listen to me. I need you. There's something I'm lacking." Jesus turns to him, and this is the most profound moment, I think, in the Bible. Jesus looks at a man who has nothing to offer Jesus and says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? Anything you want, what is it?" And his response isn't to complain. His response isn't to tell Jesus and ask him, why was I born this way? Why me? Why this life? Why this thing? It wasn't that. It was only, "Jesus, that I might have sight so that I can see." What's incredible about this story is that when Jesus hears the cry, he stops. Your cry can stop him. Your cry can move him. Your cry can make him change direction and turn towards you, with the only agenda is to meet with you and listen to your cry and heal your heart. And what is it? What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you're dealing with? What is it that is inside of you? What's the complaint? What's the cry? What's that thing that is ailing you? What is that thing that is keeping you from breakthrough in a miracle? What's the ceiling over your life? He wants to come and he doesn't want to hear it. He wants to listen. That's all he wants to do. It says, "You will call upon him and you will listen." He will listen to you. And then the next verse goes on. It says this, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." So the Bible says this, that you will search him. Uppercase H. You will search him. A lot of us come into church and we're not searching him. We're expecting him, but we're looking for something else. We expect him, but I look for affirmation. I expect God, but I look for security. I expect God, but I look for safety. I expect God, but I look for approval. It's like me looking here, expecting to see you, but looking up here. I can expect it all day long, but I'll never find you. But so many of us, including myself, and so many of us here tonight, come into church thinking we're worshiping God, but in reality, we're worshiping affirmation. In reality, we're worshiping acceptance. In reality, we come in saying, "I'm broken, and all I need is somebody to tell me that I'm awesome. I need somebody to tell me that I'm okay. I need somebody to tell me that what I'm doing is great. I need somebody to make me feel safe." And we start worshiping all the lowercase gods. We start worshiping all of those, and we come in with our hands lifted up, and we worship and we seek, but we're seeking something else. And as soon as we get affirmation from a man, we leave the God. We leave the God and we go after the man. We leave the uppercase G and we go after the lowercase G. The affirmation, the acceptance, the approval, the security, the safety. The problem with that is as soon as we get it, we leave. And then we lose it. And then we go somewhere else to find it. We go to another man, another relationship, another person, another leader, and another situation, and we keep jumping from person to person because God is not the one that we're seeking. God is not the one that we're going after. It is everything but. I'm coming in and I'm worshiping somebody to notice me. And I worship my heart and I'll come to the front. But if nobody notices me, if nobody says anything nice about me, if nobody leads me the way I want to be led, if nobody approves of me, if nobody brings me into their home or invites me out to coffee, then I'm out. I'm gone. And what we tell our situation is, he's not the one I worship. That thing is. We end up worshiping man. We end up worshiping things. We end up worshiping mindsets. And all those things, they haunt us and they plague us. Now, let me tell you this. We have prayer meetings in our church. Prayer meetings that happen every week. And in those prayer meetings, you will see that we teach people how to pray. We teach people how to pray. We teach people how to get into it. We teach people how to show up and say, okay, the devil, I need you here because I'm about to kick your butt. I'm about to show you who's boss. I'm about to come and there's an issue, there's a problem, there's a situation, there's a wall that needs to come down, there's an addiction that needs to be broken. And we come in and we kick the door down like King Leonidas in 300. We take care of business. There are times that we do that. There are times that it's all about taking down the giant and taking down the Goliath and taking down the thing, and that's what we go after. But if that's all the time that we spend with God, then eventually we'll lose our heart for him. Because we're only spending time for God, but never time with God. When was the last time we got into that place? And I was telling the youth this at summer camp. When was the last time you got into a place in a relationship with God? In a morning or an afternoon or an evening, with no list of what you needed God to do, with no agenda of what you needed, but just to go into his presence and look up and say, God, only you. Only you today. I don't need you to do anything for me. All I need you to know is that I love you. All I need you to know is you're the only one for me. You're the God that I serve. I don't need affirmation. I don't need approval. I don't need security or acceptance. God, all I need is you. I need you in my life tonight. I have two different places I pray. One of them, I go and I get stuff done. Here we go, pulling down strongholds, believing that our high schools will all be infiltrated with the gospel and people will come to know God. And all those things will happen and lives will be impacted. And I go to work and pray for our marriage and pray for the youth and pray for the leaders and get stuff done. But then there's another place that I go. A place I go and I just sit down. I sit. And I come and say, God, here I am. Here I am. No agenda. No list. Only you. You're the one. My heart's abandoned. Move me like you move the mountains. My heart, my passion, my gifts, only you. When was the last time? When was the last time you came to God with nothing else? Only you. Nothing else. But don't get me wrong, there are times where you gotta get things done. You can't live your life being in that place. But you can't live your life also just being in this. There has to be moments where you say, God, I'm here to seek you. Not what you can do for me, but just to tell you that I love you. There's a song that says, I pour out my heart to say that I love you. I pour out my heart to say that I need you. I pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful. When was the last time we poured out our heart to say that he was wonderful? To say just that I love you, that I need you, that I cannot live my life without you. It's in those moments that he goes from being our mighty God to our loving Father. Well, he just wants to show up and sit next to you and have that moment of intimacy where he ignites that fire again on the inside of you. Where you realize who you fell in love with. You realize why you left everything to serve him. It's in those moments. It's in those moments where everything changes. Where you realize that it doesn't matter what storm may come. It doesn't matter what thing might happen to you. It doesn't matter how many obstacles are going to come at you. Because you got him. You got him. And that's what you need. And it's in those moments you realize. It's not in the times where you're kicking down doors that you realize. It's the moments where you sit that you realize that if God is for me, who or what can be against me? It's in those moments you realize that with God, nothing will be impossible. It's in those moments that you realize that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. It's in those moments, not where you're jumping and punching and kicking, even though those moments are great. It's in the moments where you're sitting and you say, only you today, only you tomorrow. God, you're my first love. You're the one I pour my heart out to say that I love you. Can we be a people that walks into these doors not looking for man to say something about us, but looking with the agenda of saying, God, here I am. Use me. Use me. My gifts, my talents, my abilities, my heart. Use all of me because all of me loves all of you. Only you. Heart abandoned. Nothing else. Is heaven to me. Can we have people that don't expect God and look for something else? Last thing I want to say is this. Verse 14. God says, I will be found by you. I will be found by you. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I want to find God. I want to be known for finding him. For leaving everything else and finding him. Here's the thing. He says he will bring you back from your captivity. We think that when he brings us back from our captivity, we no longer have any problems. We no longer have any issues. We no longer have any struggles when he brings us back from the prison. We come in on a Sunday and we lift our hands and we run to the altar and we get prayed for. But then we question God when we go back to work on Monday and the same manager is there. We question God when we go back and it's the same person I'm married to. Listen, this is real life. Because we think that when God delivers us from the prison, he delivers us from our problems. And we try to get rid of our problems, and if we still have problems, we don't believe that God really works. We don't believe that God really shows up. We don't really believe that God can do something. In fact, a lot of us are in here tonight, and you stop believing that God can do something exceptional in your world because you prayed for it, you believed for it, somebody prayed for you. But you showed up the next day, and your problem was still there. Your issue was still there. The sickness was still there. The spouse was still there. The job was still there. The boss was still there. The bad economy was still there. The debt was still there. And we stopped relying and trusting in God and giving God our everything because of the problem. But we have to understand this, that God is never trying to deliver us from the problem. He will set you free from the prison, but not deliver you from the problem. Let me tell you why. Because God doesn't want you to lose your problem. He wants you to use your problem. God doesn't want you to lose your testimony. He wants you to use your testimony. So many of us, man, I wish I just didn't have anything to say. I wish I didn't have a testimony. And God is trying to remind us tonight. He's not trying to get you to lose it. He's trying to get you to use it. Can you use that thing? Can you use that problem? Can you use that thing, that addiction that you had, that issue that you came to the altar for? Not trying to lose it, can you use it? Can we stop trying to lose it and start trying to use it? That's because we overcome by that. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. what we have to say, the problem that we had, the sickness that we dealt with. That doesn't mean that God can't set you free from something in an instant, because he can and he will. But can we not be a people that stop believing in God when we wake up with our problem? Can we not be the people who stop worshiping God because we still have the same issue? I told our youth this, that at summer camp, what we think in environments like this on a Sunday, we come in and we encounter God and we think that on Monday everything will be different. That everything will be different around us. See, everything's not different around you, but everything's different in you. It's the same problem, but it's a different you. It's the same problem, but a different you. It's the same boss, but a different you. It's the same spouse, but a different you. It's the same economy, but a different you. It's that same struggle, but a different you. It's that same issue, but a different you. And so when you show up with that, yeah, I'm stepping in. It's the same Monday, but I got a different mindset. It's the same job, but there's a different me. And you show up, and you remind your problem, and you remind the issue that it might be the same, but you're different. And everything has changed. And it wasn't just something that happened. It wasn't just goosebumps. It wasn't just a good feeling that took place on the altar. But it was transformation that took place on the inside of me. And you walk up and you want your problem to be there, because you're going to take your problem and you're going to use your problem. You're going to use your issue. You're going to use that insecurity. You're going to use that addiction. You're going to use that sickness, that ailment. You're going to use that thing. You're going to use it to show the devil that God is still in charge, that he still uses jacked up people, messed up people, to make a difference and an impact. Let me explain it this way. David and Goliath. Goliath would show up every single day. Goliath would show up with a spear, with a sword, with a shield, with armor, with an armor bearer every day. Day after day, Goliath would show up with a spear, with a sword, with a shield, with armor, with an armor bearer. Sunday, spear, sword, shield, armor, armor bearer. Every day, shield, spear, sword, armor bearer. Day after day after day after day, the exact same enemy would show up, would show his face, and taunt the children of Israel. Until one day, a young man shows up by the name of David. And when David showed up, it wasn't that Goliath left his spear at home. It wasn't that Goliath left his sword at home. It wasn't that Goliath woke up with a hangover and couldn't fight that day. It wasn't that Goliath woke up and couldn't see. Everything was the same on that day. The same giant was there. The same spear was there. The same sword was there. The same armor bearer was there. Everything about the problem and the enemy was the same. The only thing that was different was David. The only thing that was different was David. Tomorrow you're going to show up and the same Goliath is going to show his face and tell you that who are you to come at him with sticks? Who are you to show your face around him? And he's going to come with the same spear, with the same sword, with the same shield, with the same armor, and with the same people around him. But you're going to show up and it might be the same enemy, but it's not the same you. And it's not the same enemy, but it's the same you. Listen, let me tell you this. David stands over Goliath and he takes the head off Goliath and he doesn't leave it there. The Bible says that David picks up the head of Goliath and takes it everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes, he's got his problem. Everywhere he goes, he's got his giant. Everywhere he goes, he's got his issue. Everywhere he goes, because he wants to remind everybody else, you think I lost it? I'm not losing it. I'm using it, baby. I'm not losing my problem. I'm not losing my giant. I'm using it. It's to remind you that there is still a God. And even though problems will always be there, even though my giant might stay the same, I am different. It's a different me. It's a different you. You are not the same. All the way in the back, all the way over there, it's a different you tomorrow. Same Monday, different mindset. Same Tuesday, different you. Same problem, different prayer. Your prayer changes from dear God, won't you? From God, I thank you that you are setting me free from this issue. I'm taking the head of my giant everywhere I go to remind the devil that I overcome by it. Can we start living a life in that place? I'm going to use it. I'm going to tell people, yeah, I got an issue, but my issue isn't stopping me. It's fueling me. It is fueling me. His grace is sufficient for me because his power is made perfect in my weakness. Without a weakness, his power can't be made perfect. It's not what disqualifies you. It's what qualifies you. It is what qualifies you to do something extraordinary for God. And that's where we're at tonight. But all of that, the energy, the passion, the using our problem, it only comes from this. Only you. David defeated the giant because he worshiped by himself. Because when nobody else was looking, he worshiped. If this is it, only you. Only your presence. I will seek you and I will find you. No agenda. Heart abandoned. Only you. Can we be those people? Can we be them? Can we be the church? Heart abandoned. So I want you to do this. Just close your eyes where you are. I want to give an invitation. For those of you who aren't connected to Jesus, you've never connected with him, or you know tonight, like so many of us have been, you're disconnected. You're disconnected from him, from his love, from his power. And before we go any further, the greatest miracle, the greatest testimony is when you reconnect with him. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask you tonight, if you're in here and you want to reconnect with Jesus, if you want to be somebody tonight that says, Jesus, only you. You're my God. Never done it, but you want to do it again tonight. Listen, church, this is not about what's wrong with you. This is about what's right with you. I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, if you want to reconnect with God or connect with him for the first time, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up nice and high and say, that's me. Tonight, I'm going to reconnect with God. All throughout this place, you know you need to do it because right now your heart's beating. You're telling yourself why you shouldn't. We will not judge you. There's no judgment or condemnation. All there is tonight is celebration. So if that's you tonight, you want to reconnect with God, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up nice and high. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just shoot it up nice and high. Right now. Don't wait. Thank you. 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 I see that hand. Keep going. I'm going to keep waiting. Thank you back there. I see that hand. This is your moment. Thank you. I see that hand. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. Don't wait. This is it. Everything changes right here. Everything changes right now. I'm going to give it 10 more seconds. Thank you, young man. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Everything changes tonight. Everything changes right here. Thank you. I see that hand. Let's do this. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. I'm going to have you do one more bold step for me. Pastor Juergen always says this. He says, when we stay where we are, we actually end up staying where we are. And our church, we like to have people come to the altar because when you come to the altar, it alters your life. So we want to make sure that the decision you just made here doesn't stay here. but leaves. He goes with you in every place that you go. So I'm going to ask you to do one more bold thing. But here's the thing. The entire church is going to shout, scream, praise, clap, and the entire heavens are doing the same thing right now. In fact, they already started. They're not waiting for us. They already started. And so I'm going to ask you, if you lifted your hand up, I want to pray for you. I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to ask you if you can just make your way from your seat. If you got to kick, jump, crawl over people, do whatever you got to do right now to make your way down front. If you lifted your hand, please come. Come, 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 come. Yeah, come. Come, sir. Come, 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 come. Keep coming, keep coming. Don't wait, this is it. Come on, come on, I know there's some more. There's some more you need to come. Just come. This is it, everything changes tonight. Don't let your problem hold on to you one more moment. Let him change you. Let him wake you up. Let him show you that tomorrow can be better than today. That God is not done yet.
The resurrecting King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrecting King is resurrecting me.
Let's put our hands together for these guys right now. We're so proud of you. What a decision. What a decision, sir, to come out. It's one decision to lift your hand, another one to walk forward. It's your family here, people you know here. But God is proud of you. And he wants you to know that he's not done. He's just beginning. And I see that your life is like a flower that's about ready to bloom. And you've been wondering, how long is it going to take? How long is it going to be in this form? When? When's my time? When's the moment? God says, right now, the flower's about to bloom. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to shift in your life. It'll never be the same. For all of you up here, God is for you. He is with you. Everything changes. So I want you to do this for me. I want you just to say this quick prayer after me. And then we're gonna get you a book called Following Jesus that will transform your life in a Bible or all that good stuff. But I want you, before we do that, I want you just to say this prayer after me. And everybody in this room is going to say this prayer as well. We're going to repeat it super loud. Make it your goal to kind of drown these people out in front. Okay? It's not what's wrong with you, it's what's right with you. So repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life tonight. I thank you that you died for me and gave me new life. And I say today, that I will serve you, I will love you, I will honor you the rest of my life. Change me, transform me, make me a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Proud of you guys, so incredible. You're just gonna do this. You're just gonna, just for like 2 minutes, you're gonna turn to your right, my left. You're gonna follow this incredible woman right here. We just have a room called the Response Lounge that we have that free book we wanna give you. It's 2 minutes, and I promise you, we're gonna connect you with the right people. So you walk out of here with the right people surrounded with you. So can you just turn to your right and my left, follow them right now just for 2 minutes. Let's put our hands together as they go right now, team. So good. All right, in the last few moments we have left tonight, we're going to worship in just a second, and then we're going to open up this altar. We're going to open up this altar, and the ministry team is going to come, and we're going to pray. And tonight, if you know you want to leave here with that heart abandoned, you know there's something you need to break through. That you want to leave here saying, God, I found you again. You want to leave here with that mindset of, I'm going to use my problem, not lose it. I'm going to use my issue. That's the same Monday, but a different me. And if that's you, I'm going to count to three again. I'm going to open up this altar. And I know there has to be a first. There has to be a first who kind of breaks it, and then everybody comes. There we go. So I want you to just come. If you're saying tonight, God, only you. Only you. Only you. God, here I am, heart abandoned, with my arms lifted up in worship. God, here I am again. Here I am to pour out my heart and say that I love you. To pour out my heart and say that I need you. To pour out my heart and say that you're wonderful. God, you're the one that I want. You're the one that I need. You're the Savior of the world. Jesus, how I love you. Come on, we're going to worship right now. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything keep
you. Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.